maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples was in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involved making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of schmaltzy music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe that today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.
Hey, GH20 Radio listeners, this is Mike, and we are doing another episode of Jehovah's Witnesses. This should be a fairly quick one. I spent all day doing yard work, and that's why my face is red, and wasn't able to try to put together an entire presentation, but we'll have something. And I realize right now I don't have my Bible in front of me, so this could get a little interesting as we go through that and consider what Jehovah's Witnesses have to say about kind of the finishing of this last question of why does God allow evil and suffering? And just to kind of recap, a lot of it has been geared towards the coming kingdom and the fact that the worldly governments are what is the problem. And that when we consider the fact that God delays to show the worldliness of the governments, that we have this kind of, how do I want to say this, a we have this problem with that we have to deal with, that the government is the problem. It's not sin, it's not anything else, but we just have bad governments. Adam and Eve fell, and now governments are under the dominion of Satan, and that's why evil continues. That's why God allows it, so that everyone knows governments are not the answer, that it's God, and when God brings his government down. So we're really going to see kind of then the application of this, and this is the fifth and final question for this eight series. So without further ado, here we go. So why does God allow evil and suffering? And we have this fifth question: how can we choose God as our ruler? Now remember, sin is not dealt with, and that evil and suffering only exist because Satan still rules through the kingdoms, and we're waiting for God to inaugurate the kingdom. And we can see here that they start off by saying we choose God as our ruler by seeking out practicing true worship based on God's word, the Bible. So they have John 4:23 here. It says, nevertheless, the hour is coming, and it is now, when the true worshippers will worship the Father with spirit and truth, and indeed the Father is looking for ones like these to worship him. Now, we understand this context to be the woman at the well in Samaria. And the next verse is, we'll talk about how we worship in spirit and in truth. And so we have this idea that, and we've seen this before, that you choose the freedom for you to do it. It's not a bound will, but you have the freedom to choose to worship God and to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so what that means is, as they will continue, we can reject God's, reject Satan as our ruler by keeping out of politics and war, just as Jesus did. And they have John 17:14 as evidence of this. I've given your word to them, but the world hates them because they are no part of the world. Wow. Just as I am no part of the world. Here John is speaking in the high priestly prayer. But what's interesting about this is he's not talking about governments. Now, they're part of Christ's kingdom. But he will later on say to not take them out of the world, but to keep them there and to sanctify them with the truth. Your word is truth. Again, this doesn't have anything to do with rejecting Satan as our rulers. Now, some other evidence that they have is when in John, where they try to make John or Jesus king, and Jesus slips out to say, look, Jesus isn't, they try to make him king. He doesn't want to be king. But I think we should also realize that a major theme in John, and we see it right away with the wedding of Canaan, that his time had not yet come. That he was waiting. It's not that he wasn't going to be king. It's that his time to be called the king and to be the king was not yet fulfilled. Again, and I'll go a little bit more in this. This is just kind of you see it. And then Jehovah's Witnesses do this. They don't fight. They're not in politics. They don't vote. And they don't serve in the military. Which, if you're a GG20 listener, you know that Ricky, George, and myself have all served in the military. And we make fun of each other for it. Because that's what we do. That's what branches do. But Jehovah's Witnesses don't work in the military. They're out of politics and they're out of war with it. They think that's simply that of the realm of the devil. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. So Satan uses his power to promote immoral, harmful practices. When we reject such practices, some friends and relatives may ridicule or oppose us. So if we face a choice, we will associate with people who love God. When we obey the wise and loving laws, if we do, we prove that Satan has lied and he's claimed that under pressure no one would do as God says. So, again, we see this appeal. Satan uses power to promote immorality, harmful practices. When we reject these practices, some friends and relatives may really kill us. I realize that I forgot to change the question on this one. And there's a sense in which that is true. Satan does use his power to promote immoral and harmful practices. All of it because he's in rebellion against God with it. And so we should understand, you know, that our enemy is not merely flesh. And so to be able to say that, I mean, it's really kind of a truism, and we agree with that. And, you know, reject that, and people may ridicule. And that's true. They have 1 Peter 4, 3-4, for a time that has passed by is sufficient for you to have do the will of the nations, and you are carried on an acts of brazen conduct, unbridled passions, over-drinking, drunkenness, wild parties, drunken bits, and lawless idolatries. They were puzzled that you did not continue to run with them as some a decadent course of debauchery, so they speak abusive of you. So these are, you know, here in Peter, you have the Christians, and they're no longer. They have ceased to do the things that non-Christians do. They seek to not sin anymore. With that, again, you know, they haven't really proved their first one, that Satan uses his power. I mean, he does, and so we acknowledge that. We have it. And so, you know, we face a choice. Will we associate with people who love God, or will we obey his? And if we do that, you know, prove Satan lied when he claimed that, no one under pressure would do it. So they obviously have Job in mind here. They do 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. You know, do you not know that the unrighteous people will not inherit God's kingdom? You know, and then Paul lists all these other sins off. And so, yeah, it's important to, you know, consider you know what's going on here. How they kind of contort. Now, I think, if I remember right, this is heaven. I was kind of quickly going through some of these references kind of through with it. And again, so we see the separation. We've noticed it before. So he says the kingdom of God. We've noted these before. Again, you have this strong emphasis to prove Satan wrong with it. It's like as if it's something you can do yourself. And you know, I feel like I repeat myself quite often on these shows, because I think we consider this. So what you're going to do, you know, there is that push. And what we'll see here on the next slide is they move to this idea of God's love. And they say here, God's love for mankind guarantees that evil and suffering will end, and those demonstrate that they believe this will enjoy life on earth forever. And then they have John 3:16. Again, when they have it, they don't say so that whoever believes in him might not perish. They say destroy, but have everlasting life. This verse is translated wrong. They have so that everyone exercising faith, but this goes along with their thing. They believe that faith is obedience to Christ's law. So faith is equal to obedience. So that's why they have this idea of everyone exercising faith. But not only that, they say in him might not be destroyed. This is actually, let's see if we can, right here, is actually perish. The verb here, so the verb here can be destroy or perish. Although when the verb shows up in what you call middle voice, it always means perish. Destroy is always active. It's in the active sense. And I haven't brushed up on how to kind of explain those a little bit, but kind of middle is a reciprocal kind of aspect. So like prayer is in a middle tense with it. So we do have this. So this idea that it's not just destroy, it's perish. But then it's also you have this exercising of faith with it. And so how do we deal with this? Is government evil? And I, you know, we'll talk about more closely the idea of suffering evil, because they're completely off base. And they probably would acknowledge what I'm about to say. But Paul in Romans chapter 13 says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and that those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer." Really, what I want to focus on is the first verse of chapter 13 here in Romans. And that is, the governments exist, have been instituted by God. God has instituted government. That means government is not just a tool of Satan. And if it is, then why is David king above God's people? Now, no doubt, they get a king because they sin. They do. They request a king like the other nations. And we see that in 1 Samuel. But that's the problem. It's not that they want a king. It's that they want a king like the other nations that will go out and fight the battle for him. But this had already been predicted, because in the law, God has already given them parameters for a king. He is not to collect military strength. He is not to collect wives. We see then Solomon do exactly that, David also. And we see the fall of the kingdom and the split with Jeroboam. And so, are governments bad? Well, no. They're instituted by God. Now, bad people run governments. You have sinners who run governments. And so you do have bad people in places of power, and you know, there's a realm of it. So you have, you know, the worst, like, you know, Lenin or Stalin or Hitler, who kills hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions, for their own power. We should see that and say, yes, that is evil. But when the United States started, none of the Christians are like, nope, nope, staying out of politics. No, they understood the importance of politics. In fact, they the politicians understood the proper place of religion and good morals, that this country can only work in such rules. So Jehovah's Witnesses actually feed upon people with Christian foundations. Even Ben Franklin, he's not a Christian, but his life is built on the Christian foundation and Christian morality. They are benefits of that with it. And so I think if we consider this idea of government, it means that government in of itself is not bad. In fact, the Bible Paul talks about how we'll rule over angels in a sense of a government. And that we never see Israel judged for having a government. They're judged for having bad shepherds, bad kings, kings that did not follow the law of God, who did not write out the law and rule by it as they were commanded to. And so I think we should realize that governments are not inherently evil, that they were designed by God. Now, there's a sense in which governments are only needed because of sinful people, and because you have people who do bad. So if Adam and Eve didn't sin, if we wanted to play that game, there would be no need for a government, because everyone would do it right. There would be no need for someone to exercise authority and to punish evildoers. So instead, we have government kind of in place because of sinfulness. And we're to pray for our rulers. You know, and there's an act of, you can even say submission with it. You think about 1 Peter chapter 2, 13, he kind of continues on a little bit with Paul saying, he goes, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Whether it be the emperor as supreme or to governors who as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants for God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Again, we're told to act in a certain way, even though when we consider that in verse 11, that Peter is urging people as sojourners and exiles to do these things, knowing that they are not within this thing. So what does that mean? We should, as as able as we can to be part of the government. We are to do our duties as the government. To submit to the government would be to vote. And when the government calls young men to help defend it, we should go. And that we should understand that war is not necessarily evil. That times there are wars that are necessary to combat evil, to push away what is wrong and to punish them. Have another nation say, look, this is not right. You should punish you. So this is what it means for Jehovah Witnesses. That is, evil has stayed, the evil is out there so that we can know who God is, that we can look at governments and see that they're not the saviors, and they're not. So we agree with him. But the suffering, and what I'll try to in the next video argue more, is that suffering and evil remains because it brings a greater good. It brings something better. That is, without suffering and evil, Jesus could not atone for our sins. And we wouldn't see God as a great redeemer. There's more to that. I'm still trying to put puzzle pieces together and to find a way to do it. But that is the call. And so we disagree with them. I think you can serve in the government. You can be politically minded. That's not for everyone. You can join the military and you can fight and defend your countrymen as an act of love. You don't have to go in there just with the mindset of, I just want to kill people, which would be wrong. But that, look, I'm going to sacrifice myself for my countrymen to defend them so that they don't have to worry. And that's completely fine. So that has been this episode of Jehovah's Witnesses 8.3, Suffering and Evil. Join us on Tuesday night as we continue our Psalms, and that is at 9 p.m. Eastern on our YouTube channel. Watch Facebook for links as we put those out. Remember, if you have any comments or questions, you can comment on this video. You can send it to us in a private message. And you can catch all of the other Jehovah's Witnesses here on the YouTube if you want to search for them. Or conveniently on our Facebook page. I created a playlist so you can get George's stuff, what he's been doing on the Council of Dort. You can look at all the videos for the 2019 podcast. So everyone we've done so far, they are in a playlist. And you can find all the Jehovah's Witnesses episodes on a playlist on YouTube if you wanted to binge watch them. And plus, all of those are also available on Podbean, and I will get this one out there shortly. Unless you're listening it on Podbean, then it's already out. And so from all of us here on G220 Radio, this has been Mike. You guys have a good night.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end, making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involved in making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of schmaltzy music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe. That today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you, into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.